Hey, After Buzzers, before we move on to your next topic, we just want to say thanks to our sponsor, Anchor. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. Plus, there are creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Also, Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. Plus, you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership, and it's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor FM to get started.
Hey guys, welcome back to Crazy Ex-Girlfriend After Show here on AfterBuzz TV. Today we're talking all about loss, Rebecca's loss of her roommate and friends, Paula's loss of her son and Daryl, and White Josh's loss of love. We're going to talk all about it. Stay tuned.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Oh man, oh, I love Paula. Her voice.
She needs to have a Broadway show.
Just like starring her.
Just like, I would watch a one-woman show of Donald and Champlin.
I would totally watch it. If she would do something at the Rockwell, I would be there in a second.
Oh, yes. Maybe she will. I mean, this is the last season.
Throw it out there.
Hey, guys, thank you so much for joining us tonight for Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. Final season. Mm-hmm. This is episode 5 called...
I am so happy for you.
And I want to think it's said, like, I am so happy for you.
That's exactly how it's said, Rebecca Bunch.
Just like the millennials we are.
Oh, man. I'm an older millennial, so that's just...
We're both a little older millennials.
A little older millennial. We tone it down a little bit. Just a little bit.
Well, like I said, thank you guys. I am your host, Brianna Phipps, and I am joined by my main man over here, Nino Lanera.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? It's your boy, Nino, and I'm happy to be back here for Crazy Ex-Girlfriend and one of my favorite episodes this season.
Yeah, why don't we start off there? What was your overall thoughts on this episode?
So, I know they kind of gave everything to us all at once. You know, like everyone's leaving, a lot of loss here and there or whatnot. But I think I needed something like this where it wasn't just focused on Rebecca. It was focused on Rebecca, but there was so many other moving parts to it, and I really enjoyed it. And I'm always excited to see or hear Paula sing. So that was a highlight all of its own. But I enjoyed it. I think it went really smoothly. I think there was no filler like we were kind of talking about last week or whatnot. I think it kind of gave a really good storyline.
Which kind of makes sense because we said this is all hypothesis. We don't know. But we had thought that maybe they were doing some fillers because they originally had a 13-episode order and got
to 18.
And they were trying to figure out some ways to fill it in before they were going to go to their actual storyline they had planned.
Right.
And this would be the episode that would put it right at 13, right?
Yeah, it would be.
So
yeah.
It makes sense if that was the reason that this is when we're going to kind of start progressing storyline-wise now.
Yeah.
And it really did make it feel like the final season with everybody leaving.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're losing Valencia. I mean, not necessarily losing, because they might still come back, but they're leaving...
To be like, you know, we see them every single episode reoccurring here, you know, all the time. So, yeah, you're right. It is kind of... It's going to be different.
Might still make more... Of appearances, because she'll just be a couple hours away where Valencia will be in New York.
Right.
But we'll get all into that in just a minute. Mm-hmm. But I agree with you. I really did love this episode. Maybe hit a little too close to home.
Really? Because are you going through a whole bunch of friends leaving and moving?
Not so much that, but just more with Rebecca's feelings. And like I said, we'll get more into it. But her feelings of, I'm not where I should be in life, and I'm behind.
Right.
And I'm seeing all my friends move forward. Because, you know,
we've talked about this before, right?
From a small town.
Yeah.
Where a lot of people are getting married and having kids and have their careers, and we're in the entertainment industry. And I think just life for us moves a little bit at a slower pace.
Definitely.
Than if you weren't. But again, we'll get into it later.
Right,
but yeah,
right.
There's little parts of that. I was like, maybe this is too close to home for me.
I totally get it now. And I think I'm feeling it even more now that you say it.
Well, let's start off with our first little duo that I have for us, White Josh and Daryl.
Oh, man.
So we start off with them. They are very close friends now.
Yeah.
They want to be in each other's life. And the question kind of arises, are we too close of friends? Are we keeping each other from being able to move forward in other relationships because we're too stuck with each other?
Yeah.
Do you think that it's inappropriate to be that close of a friend with an ex?
No. I think some people can and some people can't. I have friends who were together for three, four years. They've broken up and they're still together as friends now, like really good friends now. And I think it could happen. I think it's one of those things where it's a case by case type situation. Cause some people, you know, when they break up with somebody, it's like, bye bye.
Well, I think it also depends on the reasons you broke up, right? So, like, right. Wyatt, Josh, and Daryl didn't break up because they didn't love each other. They broke up because they wanted different things out of life.
Right.
And so I think that there was not a lot of animosity there. Like, yeah, they were hurt. Yeah, they didn't want to not be with each other. Mm. But the reasons for not being together weren't detrimental to not having a friendship.
Yeah, it's definitely not crucial to them, you know, hating each other or whatnot. I think that, once again, I think that there's a special case. And I think it was starting to get to a point where maybe they were stopping each other from exploring new things and, you know,
well, I think when you get so comfortable with someone and someone has been your best friend, you know, initially when that breakup happens, it's really kind of jarring because this person has been the person that you've gone to for everything, the person you tell everything to. So if that person does come back into your life, it's really, really easy to fall back into those patterns because you're so comfortable and close with that person.
Right. And dating's hard already in itself. So when you're starting all over again after you've introduced yourself to somebody before and once again they know you and all that other stuff, then you're starting
so hard when he was like, I just don't want to have to tell somebody new everything about me again. I just want to be where I've already done that. I'm like, oh, I understand that 100%.
Yeah. People don't bounce back that quickly, you know, after like a really in-depth relationship like that. So that was kind of funny that he said that. But it's funny because Daryl's usually the more emotional one. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was really funny to see him kind of like being more the strong, like, no, I think you need to move on and try it.
And here's another question for you.
Yeah.
Do you notice some similarities between Daryl and Vic?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I totally do. But I also see similarities between Vic and Y Joe to Daryl. It's funny because I don't know if I saw a triangle like foreshadowing, you know what I mean?
Maybe.
To be formed, because remember at the party, he was kind of like, wow, you watched that show too? I don't know. Little foreshadowing.
I don't know. Well, maybe in your predictions you can give us a little tease of what you think might happen with them.
More story arcs, right?
And then there's also the whole thing that everybody else really wants them back together, me included. Yeah. I feel like this was the writers really giving a nod to their audience because I feel most fans of the show want Daryl and White Joe back together.
Yeah, definitely. Kind of like how we're always like, where's Greg? We want Greg back in her life. It's always going to be one of those fan favorite classic type moments. You know what I mean? I actually do that with the people I was talking about, the special case people. We have a friends in my friend group that do that, and we're always like, "It's gonna happen. We're rooting for it." We don't know if it's gonna happen, but we want a fairy tale happy ending. Everyone does, right?
Especially when, like I said before, when things don't end badly.
Yeah,
it's kind of. I think it's hard sometimes for an outside world perspective to kind of look at you and say, why aren't you together?
Right, because there's a glimmer of hope that's still going to be there.
Especially when everybody else is looking for that. They're like, you had it. Why did you let it go? So I could see why, especially the younger crowd.
Yeah.
Tim was a little bit maybe of a surprise because I don't know.
Tim was funny.
I was like, Tim, why do you care?
That was his family, right?
Yeah.
So like, I'm just going to ditch
you
Maya, for a second.
We've seen Maya be obsessive over things. So, okay, she made sense. AJ's new, so we don't really know him yet. So, sure. Rebecca went along with it, so she was kind of meh.
Right. She was mad in the beginning. All of a sudden, she was like, well, might as well just get up too.
Well, I think she just wanted to be, like, fitting in with this younger crowd.
Yeah.
But Tim was, like, I feel like there was a couple times, and we'll get into it with the song, but they kind of just threw some people in there randomly to be like, let's make sure they're in the episode.
We want you to see their faces. They're still here. They're still going to be relevant. Just not right now.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
But something that is relevant right now is where you can find us and what you can do for us.
Yeah, definitely, guys. So, hey, AfterBuzzers, our network produces after shows for nearly all your favorite TV shows. From dramas, reality TV, sci-fi, and more, there is no network that works harder to serve television fans. But we need your help. We're asking that you please subscribe to one or more of our YouTube channels. By subscribing to our channel, YouTube will suggest content that's tailor-made for you, and you'll help AfterBuzz continue to grow. And if you're worried about those pesky notifications, don't worry because they're optional. So hit the subscribe button now and follow us and check out the other channels that we have here on YouTube. Let us know that you did in the comments below or tweet us and let us know so we can go ahead and shout you out here on this show. For now, thanks for being the best fans and for helping us be the ESPN of Talk TV.
Yes, guys, it really does help us out. And we really do appreciate you. It's not just with this show, but for all the shows across the board. We have so many different channels, drama, sci-fi,
Reality TV.
Nina does Are You the One over
there. That's right. That whole franchise. Come watch us.
Competition, if you're into Survivor or any of the singing competition shows. So there really is something for everyone. And we really do appreciate you guys. And while you're at it, go ahead and give us the thumbs up on this video. And leave us a comment below here. If you're watching live, tune into the live chat. Nino's in there right now for you.
Yep. I know some of you guys are watching right now. So definitely talk to me if you guys want to. You know, you could download us on iTunes as well, too. And now Spotify, which is really, really cool. So if you want to just listen to the audio while you're in traffic here in L.A., New York, wherever you are, go ahead and do that and listen to our voices.
Yeah. And if you're on iTunes, give us that 5 stars there, too. Yeah. Leave a comment. We'll check in on you there as well. I don't think Spotify has an option for that.
No, they don't. But you can keep streaming it.
Listening on Spotify, but maybe then just hop over to YouTube or iTunes and just leave a comment.
Yeah, or tweet us.
But yeah, thank you for that, Nina.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, let's move on to the other loss of the episode was Paula being a mother, losing a son in a sense.
Speaking, moving on, right?
Brandon, because he is moving on to Peace for Peeps.
Yeah,
is that what it was called?
Kind of like the Peace Corps.
Yeah. And he doesn't know where he's going to be stationed, but he'll be gone anywhere from 5 to 10 years.
That's crazy. Did the Peace Corps do that in the 60s and 70s? Was it that long?
I don't know. I have not looked into the Peace Corps a whole lot, so I don't know.
I mean, when the whole anti-war sentiment happened in the 70s, I didn't know. 5 to 10 years. Hey, I'm just packing up and, you know, I'm here to spread positivity and love and try to help. And that's 5 to 10 years is a lot.
It's a lot. It's a long time.
It's a long time.
Especially like you're 18 when you come back.
Yeah.
You're like our age, basically.
Exactly. But you know what? Like, shout out to anybody in the Peace Corps because that's amazing work.
No, it's amazing work.
Yeah.
And Paula's having a very difficult time with this, mainly because she's just rekindled this relationship with her son.
Right.
And now he's going to be gone again. So she wants to devise a plot to make him stay.
Mm-hmm.
And she brings in Vanessa to help obtain that. And Scott is very much like, stop.
Right. Let him live. Let him be.
And we've seen this from Paula over and over again. She's a meddler.
Yeah. And she couldn't do it for Bex this time. You know what I mean? Because Rebecca was in her own world dealing with her own stuff right now.
Well, and we see her wanting to be more family oriented.
Exactly. So she goes right towards the problem issue right in front of her. And hurts her son. So sad.
Were you on board with her doing this, or were you like, Paula, stop?
I think I was thinking about it from the perspective of, like, I want their relationship to grow. So in the beginning, I was like, yeah, you know, let's see what happens or whatnot. I don't know. In the end, I already saw the foreshadowing that it wasn't going to work out for her. But it was just nice to see, because I said I like to see and look into Paula's relationship with her family. And we've been asking for this more and more from the past seasons or whatnot. And when we do have that little glimpse, it's really, really quick. So to see this was nice. So I was with her, but I was also like, yeah, let him go.
My one thought was that she was so obsessive over Brandon leaving and making sure he stayed because she wants this relationship that...
What about...
Well, what about Tommy, you know? We have that scene where she brings her in to dinner and she just kicks him out. And she's
Tommy's
like, you go.
Eating in the corner.
Like, I'm like, yes, your one son's leaving. Yes, it's very sad, but you have this other son that you can build a relationship with too. Have you not figured this out?
I think we're going to be more Tommy focused too, which is great because Tommy's pretty funny, you know, and we've seen him highlighted in a couple episodes. So I'm kind of excited to see where his character kind of breaks out because it's now just him in the house. Because his brother's leaving pretty soon.
Yeah.
I'm assuming they were packing.
I mean, they were packing by the end of the episode.
Yeah.
You know, he's going to Botswana.
Yeah. And that's in Africa?
I want to say
it's in Africa. But yeah, wow.
She made it seem like it was on the bottom of the globe. But
yeah. Millicent D said he'll be back in 2 weeks.
It's in Southern Africa.
Southern Africa, yeah. Literally around the world.
Yeah.
That's intense. Mm-hmm.
But we also get Scott this episode. And like we see, I feel like Scott's the one that has had the relationship with the boys, and he's almost in the mindset of like, you could have had this relationship sooner. You chose not to. You need to stop.
Let them go. Let them be. Look at his little scruff that he had going on. Yeah. I was like, oh, you look different. Yeah.
They both look really good.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But. And I do have some more information on the kind of mother storyline that went throughout this episode, and it's going to be our news section later, so make sure you stick around for that.
Mm-hmm.
But let's get on to Rebecca's storyline. Mm-hmm. So we open up the episode with Rebecca finding out that both Heather is going to be moving to
El Segundo. It's my neighboring city.
And Valencia is moving to New York.
Right.
Rebecca's old stomping grounds.
Mm-hmm.
And Heather has a condo, and Valencia has a tiny
closet of a space
apartment, which makes sense for that.
Right.
But they're both moving forward in life, and she kind of has this nervous, I'm not where I should be.
Right.
Everybody's ahead of me, and I'm losing at life moment, which causes her to spiral into, the only thing I can possibly do is get younger friends that are more where I'm at in life.
Right.
And cling on to them.
So we could see eye to eye, and I could still have the upper hand. Because, I mean, I think she's always wanted to have the upper hand. And she has, in a sense, because she was always, you know, the richer one, the more wealthy one, the more successful one. She went to, you know, an amazing school. She always had a one-up on everybody else. So she, I think she might have felt, you know, she was sitting on some sort of high horse or whatnot. And now that she doesn't have that control, you know, it kind of, yeah, made her spiral, made her go down into that whole pity phase of, you know, your life or whatnot. But like you said before, like, I just, when you said that, you relate to that in some sort of ways. I'm like, wow, I didn't really think about that until you mentioned it. But it does kind of hit close to home, because a lot of people feel that way.
Yeah, and it's this whole feeling that most people think that life is kind of a graph, and you just have this upward slope that you're just going diagonally upwards and hitting those milestones as you go. When really, if you look at life, it's, my mom always described it to me as like a roller coaster where it's ups and downs.
Right.
So Rebecca had her peaks, you know, with career, but she was not peaking with other things in her life. So now she's kind of gone down, and she maybe isn't peaking with career, maybe isn't peaking with love, but she has these great friendships. And I think that's what she was not focusing on. She was focusing on the loss of them rather than like, but I was able to gain these, which I didn't have before.
Right. And, you know, and focus on her stability as far as like where she wants to be mentally in life, you know, and her mental health or whatnot. She's doing really, really well, you know, opening up a business like that and feeling and going into a whole new realm of entrepreneurship versus her being a lawyer, you know, helping out in the community, in the jail and all that other stuff too. A lot of positive things happen for her, but it is kind of tough when you do see a lot of things like,
you kind of want all of the things to happen.
Yeah.
You need to have the career, the family, the love life. You have to have everything, or you
want to check everything off that list.
Or you don't feel like you're winning.
Yeah.
And that's kind of, I think, how she was feeling. But that's what I love about the show. And I wish that she kind of would, and we see at the end, you know, more, but I wish that she would just look around and be like, you know what? Paula is my friend. She had the family, but she didn't feel like she was where she was supposed to be in life. She felt like she was losing because career-wise, she wasn't where she wanted to be. So now, later on in life, she's going after her career.
Right.
And I can do the same in these other areas. You know, I'm not where I want to be, but I'm focusing on my happiness and my mental health. And that's what, you know, Dr. Copian is trying to tell her. She's trying to tell her, yes, maybe you're not as far along as these other people, but you had all these setbacks. You had all these things that they didn't have to go through holding you back and keeping you from being able to progress. And now you're working on those so you can progress.
Right. And you're doing just fine.
Yeah.
You're doing great at it. You know, imagine all those people who has those certain setbacks like you mentioned and like Dr. Copian mentioned and still not being able to get over those hurdles.
Or that don't focus on it, go through with these other things in life and then are just still unhappy.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, in the real world, there's like people like us, like you said, entertainment world, things move slower pace or whatnot. Sometimes other people take forever to find their actual passions in life. They find it later on like Paula did. It all just connects and it all just makes sense. And it was kind of cool to see that now that I think about it.
Yeah.
On TV. It doesn't make me feel so bad.
It kind of gives you hope for things.
It gives you hope for things.
And I like that that's where they left it too, is, you know, there's hope. Yes,
yeah.
She wasn't where she wanted to be, but she's leaving it now. And she realizes that she really did help Heather and Valencia get to where they were going to be. Like, they would never be at this place without her.
Yeah.
And I think that helped her kind of be okay with it.
Right. I'm the connection to everything here. You know?
Yeah. Even if she had to go through her whole, let me act like a 21-year-old.
I know. Was she even 21 at some points? It seemed a little bit younger at some points.
I don't know.
You know. What was the term? Like, what was the term?
Fizzy?
Yeah. You know, sometimes.
But I mean, it's not that far off from sometimes the words I hear today.
Yeah, that's true. You know, we're a little fizzy sometimes.
We're a little fizzy sometimes. And I just love the nod to Full House for one, because I feel like that's how I feel a lot of times with young kids. I'm like, if you don't know this, just walk away.
Right, exactly. If you never saw the original, Nick at Night does not count. Oh my God.
If you haven't watched the original Sabrina the Teenage.
I know. Oh, wow. The new one's kind of scary. I'm just a little, you know,
sad. Yeah, I liked her a little throw off to that because I was like, yeah, that seems like
people
our age.
And
I feel like that's like everyone in their like late 20s, early 30s is call back to anything 90s.
Yeah.
And if you don't know the 90s, get out.
Right. Exactly. If you never watched TGIF on ABC before it was ABC. Or it was ABC Family, but you get what I'm saying. Half of our audience is like, what?
What? Did you have anything else you wanted to add onto the episode before we move forward?
No. Like I said, I liked how it went. And I liked that we visited, ended, started new beginnings in a sense to a lot of these, you know, these important characters in the actual show. I'm curious and excited to see what happens. So I'll talk about in predictions, but we'll see.
And I also like just the one last thing, that they knocked her back a little bit, because I think it was, she was progressing a little too nicely.
Well. Right.
So it was good to see her have like a setback.
And we got to see a little bit more crazy, so we could actually rate her later on. I'm excited.
Unlike last episode.
Right.
So let's get into these songs we had for this episode. We had two this week. The first one being The Group Mine Has Decided Your Love. And this is the Oklahoma Broadway-inspired kind of number.
Right.
Country-esque, where everybody just wants Wijoe.
We should dress. Daryl. I kind of dressed up a little bit. I have some denim.
I mean, this is kind of a western-y color.
We're kind of, we're missing the hats, the other layers, and everything else. But
Pretty much everything.
Right. But this definitely made me chuckle, though. I thought this was pretty funny.
I think my favorite part was Nathaniel coming in and just being, I just wanted to be in the number. That was when I was talking earlier about with the Tim too. I was like, these are the things that I feel like they were like, let's just throw some people in there.
They had a good work week. They were like, I only have to be here for how long? Oh, this is great. Like, I'll shoot and I'm gone.
I mean, it was a fun song.
Yeah, it was a fun song. I mean, still, you know, one of my favorites, but still fun nonetheless.
I like that we got Maya singing.
I love that we got Maya singing, actually. Yeah, definitely. That was kind of cool to see, like, even the new characters. AJ was in this as well, too, or whatnot. AJ was from the film Love, Simon, actually, mm-hmm. this past year, right?
Yep.
It's kind of cool to see him doing more things. Maya's hilarious. I love her, and I hope we see more and more of her the rest of the season.
I love that they perfectly embody the, like, Gen Z.
Yeah, yeah.
Age group, and I'm loving that they're kind of having the dynamic of millennial to Gen Z.
Right.
It is so prevalent in today's society.
It's so funny to think, you know, everyone's talking about us before millennials. Then you have Gen Z popping in, and we're not the new anymore, Brie.
But I think that we blame Gen Z a lot, too.
I mean, I'm sure, like,
the we may be this way, but at least we're not eating Tide Pods.
I love it.
So
don't try it, Brie.
We're now turning into our parents being like, we weren't like this when we were kids.
I know. It's the cycle is just coming in full circle. Once again.
Of course, our second song is I Always Never Believed in You. Paula's tribute to her son, talking about how she never thought he would really amount to anything, and she never questioned her thought about that, which I think odes to the fact that we keep bringing up that she's not the best parent.
Right.
But at the end of the song, we get a sweet, but now I do believe in you.
Right, which was nice to see. And just her voice in general, like I said, Donna's voice is so good. It was funny. I was looking at a couple of different articles here, and people were like, with such a great voice, her mediocre lip syncing really doesn't help. Like, and I was like, oh, I kind of looked back at it. I was like,
it would be nice to have kind of how they did with Les Miserables, where they sang live. I know it's like a lot of production quality, but
right.
Lip syncing can be hard.
It can be.
Because you have to commit to the choices you made when you recorded that song.
That's true.
You don't get to play as much as an actor with different kind of emotions or different ways to play on words. And it kind of takes your choices away from you.
Oh, it's harder. I just came out of a 4-hour ADR session. So I know like how that feels when you're like, I have to say that over exactly the way I did it. I can't redo it. Okay. Like, it's repetitive, but yeah, no, this was a sweet moment between them.
And you have some like news about what the song relates
to. Yeah, you know, so I was looking on Vulture. If you guys ever are big fans of Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, Vulture does a really good weekly recap of the actual show. They talk about it. They go in depth with it. They've been doing it since season one, I believe. I always go to this when I like kind of get a little confused with some certain things, and they kind of clear it up for me. Also, song choices. They kind of talk about where they come from, kind of like this song. They said it's an ode to We Need to Talk About Kevin, and it was a movie that we looked up. That basically, what was it again?
Starred Tilda Swinton and John C. Reilly.
Right.
And it was about a bohemian woman played by Tilda Swinton who gives up that lifestyle to have a kid. And she doesn't really bond with the child, I believe is what it said. And then he grows up to a teenager and it's kind of a manic teenager. And I think it alluded to, I didn't read quite deep enough into it, but I think it alluded to that he maybe murdered someone or committed some unspeakable act and she had to cover for that.
So, right. So they were saying this is kind of an ode to that movie right there where the relationship between the mother and the son isn't quite necessarily the best and that they're working on it. But yeah, so yeah, we need to talk about Kevin. So if you guys look that up, it might be relatable.
Yeah, I think that was the line when she said the doctor put you in my arms, and I thought murderer.
Murderer, that's right. Okay, there you go.
That's why I think that.
Yeah.
Kevin, and then she has the little knife too.
Yeah.
100%. So that's what I'm thinking. He must have in that movie killed someone. I'm not sure. I've not watched the film.
Let's
that's my prediction for that movie.
Yeah. So if you guys do watch it, let us know in the comments below and see if you see that connection as well too.
Well, let's get into our special segment, the Rebecca Bunch Crazy Meter.
The Crazy Meter. I love this one.
Crazy?
Oh, don't mind if I do.
And that is Homer Simpson.
Yes.
The famous Shining episode of The Simpsons.
Oh, man. I miss
that. Giving us our crazy.
Did I watch the Halloween special this year? I don't think I did. I have to go look for that now.
I haven't watched Simpsons in years.
Uh-oh.
But this is our chance to kind of rate her on a scale of 1 to 10 on how crazy she was this episode. So far this season, we've given her very, very low scores. There hasn't been like a whole lot.
Threes or fours, I think. We've been going that low, right?
Maybe the highest is a 4. I don't even know if we went to 4. Maybe.
Oh, maybe
Maybe
not.
The first one.
Yeah.
I went to 4. But yeah, she's been pretty stable this season. And if you guys also have scores you want to give her, throw it in the live chat. Or if you're not watching this live, go ahead and put in that comment section below and we'll check in with you guys. But, you know, what's your score for her this episode?
I want to put her in the middle because I want to give her a 5. She was a little crazy with the antics she was pulling, but it was all out of emotion. And they weren't like crazy, crazy things. She changed her look a little bit, maybe. She brought in... you know, people that she didn't really know into a house party. We've seen that before. But it wasn't like over crazy to the extreme. So I don't think I can go past a 5. That's mine. 5.
All right. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go a little lower. I'm going to give her a 4. And it's not so much for the craziness of her actions, which, you know, she gets a little bit for that because especially with Dr. Copey and telling her it's okay and her not listening again.
Right.
My craziness more goes towards the fact that she let... the way she was feeling about them moving, get in the way of her being able to spend the last days with them.
Oh, that's deep. You went way deeper than I did. Oh, man. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, me too, Bri.
And also for her being so self-indulged again that she left Paula out in the dust, not realizing what she was going through.
Right.
You know, they didn't really delve into that in the episode, but I'm making that mad.
Right. And that Paula was still going to be there. You know, the other two are leaving, but Paula was still going to be there.
Yeah, she kind of made it seem like she was losing all her friends, but she still has Paula.
Mm-hmm.
She still has Daryl. She still has plenty of other friends. Maybe they're not the squad that she had before, but...
it's different.
She still has other people, and also there's other people going through this that she could have, you know, been with Paula and gone through it together.
Right, exactly.
And instead, they both let each other go a little crazy.
I know. And then Noel, Paula got to spend a couple last moments and minutes with everybody, and with her son. And that last, what was it? What did they call themselves? The girl group?
Girl Squad. Isn't it just
Girl Squad Forever, right?
Or
Girl
Squad.
Yeah, that. Obviously, they got to have that moment right there.
Yeah, they got to have that moment. But now that I'm just thinking about it, Paula did the same thing with her son. She also forced him into this relationship with Vanessa so that he would stay there and making the last days he was there be with somebody else and not her.
Right.
Until they have the pregnancy quotation square.
We didn't even talk about that. That was pretty funny, actually. Like, he knew already.
I mean,
like, it turned.
I feel like that was obvious.
Yeah. Oh, in the beginning, I was like, oh man, wait. Did he really get her pregnant? I got caught up for a little bit.
There was a little, maybe 10% of that was like, and then the other percent, it was like, no. This is Scott.
Yeah. It's all Scott.
This is all Scott. All right, let's get into some news and gossip. Ooh.
AfterBuzz TV News.
All right, so I have a couple news stories. One delves directly with the episode.
Okay.
And it talks about Aline Brosh McKenna and why this episode... she's the co-creator of Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, and she's a mother herself.
Mm-hmm.
And so with writing this episode and with kind of figuring out, it's kind of how she was feeling with her own son, Charlie, who was a teenager, and she, you know, he's starting to move on in life. And so she really put that into this episode as well. And she thought Donna would do a great job with it. And basically she said that Charlie, her son, is and Brandon are about the same ages. And I guess Donna and Lynn Champlin's actual son are about the same age. So they really...
Oh, wow. Okay.
It was kind of a trifecta. And also the person that wrote the song, I have their name right here. I'm going to look it up. But she's a mother as well. So it was a very...
It was all cohesive and it all made sense because it was real life for them, which is why I think it came across so genuine on screen.
And I always love the Crazy Ex-Girlfriend does this. Like, they have this episode that's very centered around loss and a mothering instinct. Even yeah. Rebecca and Daryl have that mothering instinct towards those other people.
Yeah.
And so naturally, let's get mothers to help out with this, to really get those feelings across.
Right, but you know, in Hollywood, sometimes they're just like, oh, we'll have this person write it who has no idea and who can just research and guess it all. But when you have people who are actually connected to the story, write it and create it, it brings in, once again, that genuineness that we see across the screen. I think that's what we saw this episode.
So, yeah, so they said the episode was directed by Aaron Ehrlich. Uh-huh. I might be saying that last name wrong. It's one of the executive producers of the show, and she's a mom herself, so that was... who directed the mm-hmm. episode, and it was written by Rachel, Jack Dolgan, and Adam Schlesinger. Sorry, I could be butchering Schlesinger. Schlesinger. and they wrote the song, the ballad of what she sings. So that it was kind of like a ode to, I think, a bunch of different people
yeah.
on the show's own children and how they were feeling
yeah.
or may feel in the future when they have to leave the nest.
Gotcha. Okay. That's interesting. That's awesome.
The other little bit of news I have is Rachel Bloom. She hosted, we talked about last week on the News and Gossip, that she was hosting the Patron of Artists Awards.
Mm-hmm.
And Lady Gaga gave a very long speech about mental health during the award show and, you know, what she's dealt with in her own life. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she talked about, we had a really terrible thing happen in Thousand Oaks, which is not too far from where we are on
very
Wednesday.
Close. Right.
Where 13 people were unfortunately killed mm-hmm. during a shooting at a bar.
Mm-hmm.
And she talked about that and talked about the different things going on in the country and the different things going on in her own life about mental health. And so Rachel Bloom was very inspired by that speech. And so before she ended off the show, she kind of called to her own mental health. She said, "I too suffer from anxiety and depression. I thank God every day for my Prozac. And part of the reason I have treatment is because I can afford it. I just want to say thank you to Lady Gaga for that speech." So they both, like, she, you know, she's obviously a very big advocate
right.
for mental health because of the show. We know that. But, you know, she, it was nice that Lady Gaga was kind of giving that speech and she kind of could then jump
relate
on with it and
after.
Relate to it.
Yeah.
And I do love that she brought up that she could afford it because that is a big thing
it's
nowadays.
Huge. It's huge. And I mean, people talk about, especially after the Thousand Oaks situation that did happen or whatnot, you know, with the
PTSD
from the mass from the shooter who was ex-Marine and all that other stuff, and how mental health or help is not readily available all the time to people.
Yeah.
People, you know, we're definitely talking about it a lot more because a lot of things have happened in the news media and to prominent figures in the entertainment industry that people are looking at it now, which is sad because this, you know, people who aren't in the entertainment industry are suffering from this all the time. But I guess in retrospect, it's great that we're taking such tragic issues and losses and finally giving it some sort of light, and hopefully, you know, things will get better.
Yeah,
you know,
it's that thing where, unfortunately, to make us realize where we have to go, we have to go through these really negative and depressing
right.
things.
Right.
But I am glad, and I'm glad that's why I think Crazy Ex-Girlfriend is such a great show and such mm-hmm. an important show to have on the air, is because we do deal with the mental health aspect, and she is bringing a light to this mm. subject that people don't want to talk about.
And I think this is why the show is so critically acclaimed, and that's why the CW's president fought for it to stay,
yeah.
you know, for as long as it was, because like he said, it would be crazy for me to shut down a critically acclaimed show like this, you know, in such early stages without giving it a chance for people to see and understand the issues that are alongside with it. So, you know, for a network that big to even do something like that, you know, where they could be potentially losing dollars in a sense or whatnot because it's not doing the way it's supposed to perform.
The ratings aren't where they should be.
Exactly. But they still were like, you know what, we're going to keep it pushing because it's important.
Well, and I think, and you know, just going off that too, with ratings being where they are, like, I hope more people, you know, I know it's the final season, but it's on Netflix. I hope more people get around to watching the show because I think it is an important show for people to watch. And yes, it's silly. And yes, there are times where it gets a little too weird for even me.
Yeah.
And I'm a weird person. But I do think it's a very important show to have and very important issues they're bringing up. And it's important to make people feel like it's okay to talk about. Yeah. So that maybe someone doesn't hold in that they have some sort of mental illness, that they do get treatment or that they're not embarrassed by it.
Right. And on the plus, though, this show does really, really well on Netflix streaming. It's a popular show. When the whole season goes up, people binge it.
Which is good.
You know what I mean? So it's definitely good. I don't know if it would have been a bigger impact if it stayed on Netflix first before CW. But yeah. I think it was it probably got more news that it was on CW versus it was on Netflix.
Yeah.
And it got more press. And I think it is just a little bit of a bigger platform at that point. And it's good, like we said, because now we're talking about it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And like we know, Rachel Bloom is very advocate, not just for mental health, but also for women's rights and the feminist movement. She did put up a video that I watched the other week. I don't have it for us right now. It was a little too long to play, but I will make sure that I tweet it out, where she talks about, it's kind of poorly named in my opinion, but she was talking about tips for dating. And it's really not tips for dating as much as, like, tips for how to treat women.
Oh, okay, cool.
She goes into the catcalling thing, and she goes into men taking care of themselves hygienically and how there's certain traits, like manicures and pedicures, that have become very much, I can't do this because I'm a man.
Uh-huh.
And how she kind of is like, you should still do it. You should still take care of yourself because we appreciate it as women. And
right, so you're not emasculating yourself or taking care of yourself.
Yes.
Fellas, get the grooming together, okay?
So she goes into a lot of those different things and gives her a little, it's a very kind of funny but also I think really important video. Unfortunately, it has gotten a lot of hateful comments on it.
Of course it did.
From I don't want to name a gender, but a certain gender has given a lot of hateful comments on it.
No, tweet it out. Tweet it out. I want to see it.
But I'll tweet it out and take a look and see if you like it, because I thought it was a fun little video and I think that it brought some cool things to light.
Okay.
But with that, let's get into some predictions.
This should be interesting.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Should I go first?
Yeah.
Okay. So, that lingered.
It was giving you time to think.
Right. I think it's going to be interesting because I don't think the characters that left are 100% leaving. They're obviously going to pop back here and there or whatnot. I'm interested to see how it's going to happen, though. Maybe we won't see Valencia as much. Maybe we'll see her over FaceTime, like you mentioned, or whatnot. And I wonder if, being that Heather is only, you know, an hour, 2 hours away from there with traffic or whatever, that
her 4 hours of traffic.
Right, 4 hours of traffic. That her role will still be prominent in a way. I haven't looked at the IMDb to see if she had more than the X amount of episodes.
Yeah, I try to stay awake from the things.
Because I don't want to like be like. I don't want it to spoil for me or whatnot. So, I feel like Greg's coming back sooner than I thought he was. I think I had mentioned I thought Greg was going to come back maybe
after the break.
Yeah, after the break or whatnot. But because these characters are leaving, I think we might be introduced to the new Greg potentially soon. Let's give him a chance, Bree.
I'm keeping an open mind as much as possible.
A chance. It might be okay. I also don't think YJO and Daryl are done yet. Just because that's my hope and dream.
I'm very similar to you. I was having the same thought. I was like, with these characters leaving, it leaves room opening up to bring in some people maybe that we haven't seen in a bit.
Right.
I also think they might want to play around a little bit because they brought it up this episode. And they've kind of brought it up a lot for Josh that he...
Moving out.
Well, that he's also, you know, not where he needs to be. And that he's holding himself back. So I want to see them kind of play a little more with how Rebecca and him are very similar into where they are in life. And I agree with you, also because I don't want it, that Daryl and why Josh are not done. But I think that it's important for them to go off and do what they need to do separate to be able to come back together. because I think it'll make them understand what they really meant to each other.
Right. Oh, and another prediction, too. As I guess the progression of the season goes along, I think Josh and Rebecca's relationship is going to rekindle, but on a best friend level.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I also think, you know, maybe within the next few episodes, we're going to see Nathaniel not giving up.
On Rebecca.
I think he's going to make a vow to get her back.
And I feel like they're going to end up together at the end.
Jury's out on that one for me. I don't know yet. I kind of need to see when Greg comes back what the dynamic is before I make that assumption.
Yeah, I feel it. I don't know why.
Yeah. So, well, I don't know. Maybe we'll see next week. I know next week with the preview, it showed Daryl in his cowboy getup.
Right.
So I think we'll get a very Daryl focused episode, which he's my favorite, so I'm happy about that. So we'll have to wait till next week to see what's going on.
Yep.
Until then, though, where can they find you?
Hey, guys, you can find me at Nina Lanera on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and all that good stuff. Let me know what you think about the episodes and Crazy Ex-Girlfriend in general. I'd love to talk to you guys.
And you guys can find me at Brie, B-R-I underscore Phipps, P-H-I-P-P-S on Twitter and Instagram. And I will tweet out that link for that video that she did. And as well, if you want to talk to me about anything Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, go feel free to reach out and ask.
There you go.
And we will see all of you guys next week.
Bye-bye.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.